Good morning. We still have folks coming in, and that is delightful. So please feel at home and come in. It's wonderful to see all, of course, our members, but especially those who are visiting, who have traveled to be with us here this morning, and that's such an encouragement. We would encourage everyone to pick up a bulletin. From the bulletin and our website, that provides a lot of information for the congregation and for our members here. I always like to remind people inside the bulletin includes a list of folks that we want to keep in our prayers. So we want to keep this, I would encourage you to say, keep this with you all week long. And as you pray, refer back to the bulletin. It gives you certainly a lot of good reference information. For visitors, we ask you to fill out a visitor's card. This gives us a record of your visit. That way we can follow up with you, learn more about you, and we certainly would like to be able to do that. Let's see, in just a few moments, Adam Jones will begin our worship service. Our first song will be Step by Step. Of course, coming up on Tuesday, you may have seen this already through email, will be a memorial service for Joel Sloan at 4 p.m. here at the building. We certainly want to be mindful of the Sloan family and what we can do to support the family and absolutely keep them in our prayers this week. As we begin to focus now for why we have gathered, and that's our worship to God, there is no greater comfort or hope or joy that we can have than knowing we have the assurance of God's grace and God's mercy in our lives. So in Psalms 118, I wanted to read just selected verses out of this. And if you would give thought to the comfort that we can take from God and having His mercy and grace for us. So selected verses from Psalms 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endures forever. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. The Lord is my strength and song, He has become my salvation. God is the Lord, and He has given us light. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endures forever. With this, let's enter into our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As I was coming up here, Tom Mosky said, go have fun. And as many of you know, this will be fun for me, but I hope it is not just fun, but it is a joy for us this morning to come together and to give God our glory and our praise. This morning, the songs are going to focus on seeing God, seeing our Savior, and in different ways in which He has done things for us. We'll begin with Step by Step.
No soul.
Everyone sing out.
Oh God, you are my God. I am high, will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God. I am high, will ever praise you. I will sing
We'll sing this song. We'll sing the first, second, third, and fourth verses. We'll sing the first, or the chorus after the first and the fourth verses. To see for us this morning what our Savior has done, the promises that He has given to us, that we are assured of.
Oh, Father, draw me close to You. Come now, my spirit is renewed. And yes, I go to live for You. I live for You have promised and abide in Me.
Then upon when He was in the garden. And this next song speaks to that, of what our Savior has done for us. Although He, in human nature, was He didn't want this, yet He said, "My Lord, I'll do what You want so that all mankind can have the opportunity to be with God." Let us sing soliloquy in prayer. Ladies, we will begin with you.
What?
2007 was a Saturday afternoon, and it was the day before Florida camp started. I'm like, I'm going to get through this. And we all gathered under a shed, picnic shed, and Joel taught me the first song he ever taught me. Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory. You're the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory. You're the lifter of my head. You're the lifter of my head. Hallelujah. You are the lifter of my head. Joel taught me that song. It was at a very important time in my life. I'm sorry. There's a reason we're at this table today. There's a reason we come here every week. I know there's been much sadness this week because we've lost a husband, a father, a son, and a brother to many of us. And it's pain unlike many of us has faced in our lives. We come to this table every week to remember our Savior, our Creator that loved us. He made us. He came to this earth. He lived with us. And He died and sacrificed His life for us. And that's why we come to this table every week, to remember Him. It's a sacred time. And it's that sacrifice that allows me this morning to remember and to know that I can rejoice this morning because Joel is alive. My grandmother's alive. Jack's alive. Bob's alive. Austin's alive. Ann's alive. And our loved ones that we've lost that are in Christ are alive. And that's why we come to this table every first day of the week to remember a Savior who sacrificed Himself so that when we're in Christ, we'll be with Him. Bow with me. Father, thank You so much for Your sacrifice. Jesus, thank You for not walking away, staying there, coming and saving us at our sin. We are thankful for this day and this time to remember You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray for the cup. Father, we thank you for giving us your son. We thank you for giving us another time to commune with your son. We thank you for this fruit of the vine, which is the new covenant in your son's blood. And as we partake of this fruit of the vine, let us remember that Christ died for our sins. He bled for our sins. All this we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We also, on this first day of the week, lay aside, and it's our time to give back to God as we've prospered and as we're commanded. And this time I'd like to ask David to provide our offering prayer.
Please bow with me. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we come to you now thanking you for the many, many blessings we have received from you. And at this time, please accept this offering from the congregation as we give back a portion of those blessings we have received. Amen.
As we see our Savior, let us see him as a shield about us, especially at this time, surrounding us, protecting us, because we are his children. Start with the sopranos and the altos.
Thank you.
let him go at this time.
Pray with me, please. Our Father in heaven, how great you are. Thank you so much, Father, for all you do for us each day of our life. Thank you for bringing us here today, February the 2nd, 2014, to join our voices in song to praise you, our Creator, and the Son who died for our sins. Father, it's hard for us to imagine as human beings in 2014 today how difficult it was to give us Son to pay for our sins. And yet, that's what was done. It's difficult for us because we live in this world and too often forget what you have done and continue to do for us. We grieve over the loss of our friend Joel. Even though he's in a far better place that was prepared by you for us all. Father, help us to be constantly mindful of this and never forgetful. Well, the distractions of the world are so easy to take our attention, and yet so much and everything we have and are really comes from you. Be with us, Father, each day of our life. Help us to walk the paths you've laid out so that one day we might all join you in heaven with Joel and the others who've gone before, and with your Son who died that we might live forever. It's in Jesus' holy name we offer these prayers. Amen.
As we think of the things that we have been singing about this morning, let us now sing together and say, we have seen the Lord's glory. We'll sing both verses of the song, and we'll have the reading of the scriptures and then the lesson. Let's all stand together, please.
My heart, I suffer.
the Holy Scriptures.
Today's reading is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may approve that what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
Ned led us in the prayer. There's a man who has a son that's been fighting incurable brain cancer for 7 years. And Bobby is having some problems now, and they're not little problems, and they're going to do some treatments, and hopefully he's responded for 7 years. And but Ed's also got MS. Ed doesn't want you to know that he's just been diagnosed with prostate cancer. Treatments are already provided. He's told me, he says, this is nothing, Tommy. What I've got's nothing. It's what Bobby and Joel are going through. He doesn't want attention drawn to himself because others have the battle to fight. Larry preached the gospel this morning, and when I encourage people to come to the Lord, I want you to remember his sermon around the table. I know you wonder how I will be able to do this, and it's no secret. I took my nerve pills. A dozen years ago, I lost my mother. Then I helped my brother go through what the Sloans have been through. And then I lost my first grandchild. And the elders took me out of the pulpit for 3 months because everything I said, I cried. And they said, go get help. And I went and got help. Our minds and our souls are very complex. Joel's was too. I remember telling Joel one time, Joel, you go to the doctor and get help. He too was concerned about people so much. But as our service has already suggested to us, and if anywhere in the Bible class with Wes today, and what we've seen today, that's what it's all about, is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. The problems that we face will be many and varied. And no one can know the exact pain that another one goes through. But all we can be assured of is that we're going to go through them. Sometime much too early in life. Ben Dickerson can tell you that today. 9-year-old daughter of asthma. I didn't know people could die of asthma. I had football players that I know I made run sprints after they were having an asthma something. I don't do that anymore. If I hear a wheeze, I go and hunt something to breathe. But the pain comes, and we live in a we're born but few days of woman, and we're very full of troubles. just thank God we have a God who's explained some of this to us, as best as it can be explained. The problem of sin and what's happened to this earth is almost incomprehensible to us. Only God knows that. But we know the God that gave his only begotten Son, that we might have life through him. I've been preaching the last few weeks on, or months now, about what God has done for us. And that we need to, if we're going to come to him and find this experience of being Christians, we're going to have to know that it's all about loving God above all else. And you know what gets us in the most problem? If you look down there to the next to the last one, we just can't get over ourselves. That's the problem. And I tell you, preachers have more trouble, song leaders and leaders usually have the biggest problems of that. You think as a member, you think, oh, I struggle with this. Let me guarantee you, everybody struggles with it. And the more that we have excelled in leadership, probably the more that we have the problem. Because we've begun to think that we are something within ourselves. And we are nothing except for the Spirit of God that dwells in us. That's all that really matters. Every other accomplishment matters not. What did Jesus accomplish in this life? How would you have liked to walk that lonely road with just the poor coming to you? The people that had influence, they rejected you. The leaders, you couldn't be the leader of the Jewish church. You were rejected because you didn't see it like God saw it. And our culture and our religion can keep us from seeing it if we are not made after him and think as he thinks. That we'll love God above everything else. And that it's not about us, it's about grace and being grateful for the grace he's given us. Amen. We believe in him and we receive that gift. And he says, if you love me, you go and you love your fellow neighbor. That's the second greatest command, and it's likened to the first. Love your neighbors yourself. And he has no hands but our hands. We have to go. The hungry aren't fed unless we feed them, folks. Manna from heaven doesn't come down anymore. That was in a wilderness. The sick aren't visited unless our feet take us there. Those who are suffering aren't helped unless we go see them. And we might try all the ways in the world to be evangelical and save souls, but unless we go to people and we talk to our neighbors and friends, it'll never be done. We can get all the computer works we don't with printing presses going. But they had none of those in the first century. But they had the Lord Jesus in their heart that could not be contained. So I was taking the Lord's Supper today and I heard that car buzz out. Did you hear that? My mind was drifted, but I said, I hope I'm able to meet that person and teach them the gospel and tried to come back. There's people out there going about their daily business today and they're caught up in this world and they don't know what it is to have God is all and Jesus is all or to have tasted of the good gift of God. We're supposed to tell them it's our hands, it's our mouths. And what a person can do with Christ if that person has the passion of Christ. Somebody says, what can I do? What can't you do if you have Christ with you? Amen. It will be, if we can get over ourselves and just have him. Lord, this is a day that you have made. I present myself to you. Use me and make me effective today. But we'll have to understand the value of one soul. That it's really worth more than the thousands of dollars we bring home. It's really worth more than an extra car, or it's really worth more than having an extra home. It's really worth more. You know, sometimes we think, well, we shouldn't dress up fancy. Well, sometimes all that stuff is about, I want to look casual, but I might have $200 shoes on my feet. Where I might have had a $100 pair of shoes or a $50 pair of shoes, and somebody might have gotten something to eat, or somebody might have heard the gospel because I helped somebody go. It's all about what we value in the soul. It's all about us becoming holy because he is holy. Somebody says, it's what we must do. That says, like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. It doesn't say some people be holy. It says we all present ourselves to him. That means we deny ourselves, and each of us have to decide. Our verse we read today in Romans, the 12th chapter, is familiar to all of us. Brethren, by the mercies of God, I plead with you to present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, which he will accept. Do not be conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. It's renewing of mind. Transformed here means metamorphosis. It means a change. I don't know how well this will show, but let me tell you what that is. It shows up beautifully on my computer screen. That's monarch butterfly eggs on a leaf. I don't know how to explain metamorphosis more than through a worm turning into a butterfly. And I think it's been explained many times. I chose the monarch because it's the prettiest worm. It's a familiar butterfly, but imagine, you know, such a worm as I, the Bible talks about. This is the stages that they would go through. They would be, the monarch will hurry and lay those eggs on a leaf. And did you know this? That different butterflies eat different leaves. And some leaves that some butterflies lay their eggs on, if the larva were to eat that, it'd kill them. They have to go back to the leaf that they eat. And as soon as that larva, as soon as the eggs are laid here by this butterfly, then this worm starts eating, and finally, let me show you, there's a metamorphosis. And this is the word from Greek. This is a Greek word. And that's what's in Romans, the 12th chapter. Metamorpho. What do you think that means? I mean, that's our word. That's where we get our word. This is metamorphosis. And here it is. Now that worm then attaches himself to this and he dies. He makes his own tomb. He dies. I've eaten some of those things in China right there. The dying worm turning to a butterfly. I didn't want to, but I had to. And all of a sudden, this is something new. You see that? That's really a monarch butterfly there. Of course, this is time lapse. This is, you can see it. But, you know that, he's in there. He can't do anything yet. He's just a little, he's just born, just turned. And now he gets out a little bit. But you know what? He can't fly. He's got wings and he gets out and he still can't fly. And so for a few hours there, I'd forgotten the minutes, he has to wait till his wings spread out and get strong enough to fly so he can fly away. But he's been changed from this to this. And then for a little while, he gets to fly around and land on flowers and before he lay. And they go quickly and try to mate. You know how long a butterfly lives? 1 to 2 weeks. Now, monarch could live along, like, for several months if you had it in a place where nothing ate it. Everything likes to eat butterflies. praying mantis or dragonfly likes to eat them. And cars eat them up more than anything. So a butterfly doesn't have a long time in our world. And as soon as they get busy about laying those eggs and getting back to the leaf and mating, they want to mate and lay the eggs, get the legs, and then they'll be gone. Metamorphosis, it's not a bad thought, is it? That we are born and we're born to die that we might have life. Sin causes this in us, but we have life in Jesus Christ. Let's look at Colossians, the second chapter, just a minute. Colossians chapter 2. And verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. You've been buried with him. We had another illustration when I talked that morning on the plan of salvation of how we're saved. We are born with him. We're baptized into his death, and we're raised a new creature. Look at the third chapter, verses 1-4 of Colossians. If then you have been raised up with Christ, if that's true, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. We're all going to see Joel and Jack and Ann and Austin again. One day we'll all live with him in glory. But you know, when we die, we get ourselves trapped in death of sin, and we're born through Christ, through baptism into his blood, we're just little babies, and we got to grow from glory into glory. And I don't know where we die. We got to stretch out this 2 weeks to 70 years or whatever. And all of us are somewhere here, and we're learning how to fly, but we never fly too well. We never fly really good until the angels come and we fly away with them. Because the Bible says that while you ought to grow and be mature, anyone that thinks he's not a sinner just got another thought coming. If a person thinks he hadn't sinned, he's got another thought coming. If any man says he has no sin, he's a liar and the truth's not in him. And that's written to Christians. We've all got feet of clay. Maybe mixed with a little iron, help us sand. But we rest upon a rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you. Does that look different from that? Does this worm look different from a butterfly? You better believe it. That butterfly might not be able to fly away and do all it wants to do yet, but it looks a lot different in this. And Christians, when they find Christ, they look a lot different. Let's look at a few verses. Look at the fifth verse through the ninth verse of Colossians 3. And of course, I'm not going to find these. Actually, Adam defined these in the sermons a while back on one lesson, if you remember. But just look at the difference. It's a worm to a butterfly. Therefore, consider your members of this earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. So, you sexual sins, you know, impurity, lust, shameful desires, put it aside. Folks, you put aside that pornography that's on the internet too. I believe there's people living on that stuff today. And I'll bet you there's some right in this audience living on it. Because they say it's that pervasive in our society now. We saw on the news the other day where it says they're trying to get internet to all kids now. My wife and I both went, ugh. There's a lot of knowledge, but there's so much filth. That's not a part of Christian. You just put that away. Greed, you're not just after money. Money's a tool. You want to help people. Let a man work with his hand, sow. Say it loud. What does it say? Louder.
Give to those who have.
That's not as loud as you used to preach.
Give to those who have need.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Malicious anger, rage, and malicious behavior. People getting mad and angry and treating each other wrongly. Slander and filthy language. People using language that ought not to be used and talking about other people. If you got to talk about somebody, go talk to them. And if you don't understand that, keep your mouth shut. That's the thing a Christian does. Well, look at verse 10 and 11. And how put on a new self that is being renewed to true knowledge according to the image of the one who has created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, freeman, but Christ is all and in all. Let's now put on the new man. This is a butterfly. We put off the worm, now we put on the new man. Starting in verse 12. And so, those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I want to tell you something. I see Joel in a lot of these verses, I just tell you right now. I think we can. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against one another, just as the Lord forgave you, you also should. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You certainly remember Joel in that one. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto him to God through God the Father. Tender mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, love, peace, words of Christ, following Jesus, thanksgiving, singing. Oh, I messed up. Thanksgiving, following Jesus, singing. Do you see difference in this and this? If you got any of this, you better, and you're claiming to be over here, you better put that to death, folks. That's what it says. Now we can be that kind of person. That's sort of the kind of person I remember in Joel. Is that sort of the kind of person you remember, Susan? Is that sort of kind of person you think of in Joel? That's sort of the kind of person we all ought to be. Because it matters. When you come to a moment like now, it really matters. You know the story about the rich man and Lazarus. Now the poor man, Lazarus, died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. I'll tell you the difference in what happened to Lazarus and what happened to Jack and Joel. People in class, I said, pay close attention to what Wes was saying. We don't go to Abraham's bosom anymore. That's where people could be accused, according to Revelation 12, night and day. Christ took a host of captives with him, and that's who they were. Now we get to fly away to be with the Lord. I'll never forget a precious moment to me, and I hope this isn't embarrassing to Beverly, and I should have asked her. But there, as Jack was nearing his very end, she said, "Jack, do you see any angels?" He said, "No, not yet." That will be with me as long as I live. The faith that spoke and the feeling that felt. "I am hard pressed," Paul said, "in both directions, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, for that's far better." It's better for Ann and Jack and Austin. It's better for Joel, but I'll tell you what. Joel wanted to remain because of his boys and his family. But it's better for him. And we are better today because of that faith. We mourn, not as those who have no hope. We're better because we take courage, I say, and prefer to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. It's not any more talk about going to Abraham. It's all the talk about going to the Lord now. I'll tell you where we go. We go to be with the Lord. And each of us have to make that choice. Jack made that choice early in his life. It wasn't so early. He was married, and Beverly, and I don't know when. Before y'all got married or after? Before you got married, okay. You did a good job then, getting that fella coming back from the war. And Ann wasn't so early. She was, how old was Ann? 28. Joel was early. But what I want to ask you now, are you ready to be with the Lord? There's the question. Are you ready? Hope you remember Larry now. Larry about had me crying, and I took my pill. Larry, crying is one thing that makes me cry, seeing people cry. And also, I can cry over real, I could cry at the birth of a baby. I don't guess they give nerve pills for not crying over joy. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." This is, what does it mean usually when you see red print in your Bible? Jesus. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me." Now it's talking about this new life in Christ we can have now. That's the choice we have to make. "He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." He who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Are you prepared for the day of your death? Well, you have to decide to open that door. That's really all that we got to do is open the door. Somebody says, "Oh, but don't you got to believe and repent and be baptized?" Yes, but good night. It's all grace. What do we do to take one sin away? We follow a Savior who says, "You trust me and do this, and I'll take care of everything." We're not taking care of anything. People who think they're taking care of something by their obedience, all they're doing is demonstrating their faith. That's what our obedience does, and that's why it's so necessary. It's demonstrating our faith. A lot of people here demonstrate their faith. My wife is in Nashville. She'll be coming home tomorrow. It was a trip planned, a flight for this weekend that I'd gotten some time ago. But you know, I've already thought several times, man, I'm sorry my wife's not here today. You know why? because I don't want to be anywhere else but here. Because there's good people here. There's good people that want to try to help each other, and we've got a connection together. And Hess is going to do a little bit better tomorrow because he was here today. And I hope every one of us feel that way. That Christ changes our lives. And if you want him to change you from that worm to that butterfly, why don't you come to him today? And come right now as together we stand and sing.
Make me a
just a couple of announcements to add to what was said earlier. Kathy Fisher's mother has passed away. She passed away on Friday, so please keep her in your prayers, her and her family. Anyone wishing to help with the meals for the Sloans on Tuesday, please see Tanya Seminole. And Tunzo, close us out.
Let us go to God in prayer. O righteous Father God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. We come, Father, so grateful that you have just blessed us to come together and worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, although our hearts are heavy on this day, we rejoice in the fact that we have the victory in Christ Jesus. Father, we pray that as we go through this week that we remember our stance and our position in Christ, and that it is a position of victory. And Father, we pray that as we always encounter death, that it will prompt us to teach your word to this world, share your love with this world, and share, Father, that there's an opportunity for the world to also have victory as we do. We're so grateful for the life of Joel and his example that he has left for us to follow. Father, we are just so grateful for what you have done on this day. We thank you for your sacrifice and all that you do for us each and every day of our lives, Father. We're so grateful for this church family. We ask you that you continue to be with us and bless us, Father. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.